She was screaming. It was so good. Wow, we got translated to the living room. Guys, welcome to Lunch Plus. If you clicked on, it's because you are ready to dive into the Word and hear what God has for you today. But that's going to be coming up here at 12:15. In the meantime, we've got some awesome stuff in store for you while Marky has a laughing breakdown. Here's what's going to happen. Right now, it's family chat. Go, ooh, that looks nice, buddy. Good job. Followed by what's the price? Then we're going into prayer, what's right elementary, and what's the Word? What a good thing. I'm going to hand it back over
there
to you.
Oh, there is so much going on right now. So much. Kevin was dancing. Eo was laughing hysterically. Like, it was
a lot.
There was
a lot of commenting.
And then you're like, ooh. And there was so much going on.
I knew that if I started looking around, I'd start to get super distracted. I'm like,
yeah.
I saw your face
was, like, focused. And, like, before the camera went live, like, Eo's like, we're live, and like just all this stuff was a lot.
Here's what's happening today. Like, Marky sent Rachel on an excursion. Like, she asked her, in Marky's head, she asked her to go to the gas station that's around the corner from
us.
You
can literally see it from here. That's how close it is.
But the words out of her mouth were, go to the corner store, which is about a mile away. So Rachel went to the one that was a mile away, and there was
I think it's over a mile.
It's over a mile. Rachel says.
It's like 5 minutes.
But there was much feelings that when she came back and she's like, I went to the wrong one. So this is pretty much just been the atmosphere of the morning. But yeah. How are you guys?
Yeah, how are you? How are you?
That's a behind the scenes of what's happening here in the studio. Kevin just did a really interesting wave at us. He's like, hi. Guys, it's a good day. Comment, tell us who you are, where you're watching from, so that we can say hi to you. Johnny Shaver. It happened. You were the first commenter, and you're the first commenter on YouTube. Well done, good sir. Arabella's on. Kevin says, 3, 2, 1. I'm assuming he heard Rachel, so that's exciting. And then he says, joy, in all caps.
In EO.
EO.
I'm curious why Johnny Shaver's name says 13. What is 13?
I'm assuming it's that there are other Johnny Shavers, JM Shavers, and so it's like, here you go.
And 12 other ones, is that why?
Probably. Maybe he likes the number. You have no room to stand on with, like, random things in your handles. Like, Marky's email, it ends with 1111.
AM.
Like, because she made her email at 11:11.
AM. Or no, it's like PM, but I was like, which one am I going to pick?
So that's where that came from. Kevin says, watching from Enforge.
What's that?
I don't know.
Enforge.
I don't know what that is.
I think that's a typo. Is it? Is it not? Is it real?
Rachel says, hi, I almost didn't make it back in time. Man, what a drive. Good job, Rachel. Way to sew in to Marky, Eleanor, Dottie, Dunphy. That's important. We are going to hop into our first official questions of the day. And, wow, Rachel's
right
on
there.
It. You know how Rachel does a really good job of censoring people, like when she's done like talking? That was a moment of that. Make sure that you answer these questions, so that way the person who helps us get to 100 comments first fastest gets a gift card.
Yeah, you want a gift card? Comment.
Johnny says his plane was in the military, was called Lucky 13, hence the 13 in his email. So.
And Forge is a place.
I see that.
Look at all, my questions are being answered.
William.
I'm so happy.
William, 16-year-old William's like, nope, and Forge is a place. And Natalie says, hello. Okay, Eo, we can go. First official question. Would you rather spend a long time finding the best deal on a gift or spend more money but only shop for a small amount of time? I know what my answer is.
That's interesting. That's a good question. I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle.
I like finding deals, but it really depends on if I'm at home. Like, there comes a point in this whole thing. See, Pastor is the pro at this. Like, Pastor will spend hours upon hours, and the Lord will help him find the best deal ever. Mm-hmm. And my flesh, about halfway through this process, as I've watched him, I'm like, I will give you the extra money. Like, I will give it to you. Let's just pull the trigger. Yeah. So, like, I want to find the deal, but I have not been as in it to win it as Pastor has been. So I'm probably somewhere halfway in the middle. Yeah. If I were to pick a ditch, though, it would probably be spend more and spend less time.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Rachel said she wants to spend time working on the best deal. Arabella says that she wants to spend a lot of time finding the best deal. Prilla says shop a small amount of time and pay the hike. I totally just did this with a present a few nights ago. William says it depends on the more money. If it's a big deal, I'll go for it, but I'm not going to take 2 hours to save $5.
William is the voice of reason.
It is warm in here. Do you guys feel that it's warm? Like, yes. I'm really warm in here.
It was cold before.
It's been, like, really fluctuate. Like, I wore this in the, in, like, planning for it to be hot today, but it's just really warm. So I'm all for it. Do you like my Christmas present from Buddy and Serena? Marky hasn't seen it yet. This is emotional support, Marky. I intentionally wore my jacket so you didn't see it this whole morning.
Oh my gosh! My face! I'm wearing a shirt!
I'm wearing your face.
Oh my gosh! I'm honestly so complimented! I'm so happy! Oh, I was crying a little bit.
This was my present from Buddy and Serena. It says, you can and you will with emotional support, Marky. She's right here.
Oh my gosh, I almost cried.
The only people that knew, Buddy knew and Serena knew and George knew, but and I had given Kevin a heads up of the jacket's gonna disappear at some point, but... Yep, so this is emotional support Marky t-shirt.
Oh my gosh.
Rachel says, I needed emotional support Marky this morning. It even says emotional support Marky.
Oh my gosh. So it's an, you should explain the inside joke of what that is.
So do you guys remember back a couple months ago when the ELT, like when the leadership team here at the church, when we went off for a week, we didn't have our normal broadcasting. Well, there was a part during that week when the leadership team was doing training that I had put together a presentation on some things, and on the pages that seemed more emotionally difficult, I photoshopped Marky's face in there doing this. I photoshopped this picture of her, and I labeled it emotional support Marky is here to help us get through this point. So now I have an emotional support Marky t-shirt.
I look the same.
Your face is on a t-shirt that I am wearing.
That's amazing. I love it. I love it.
Both Abby and Rachel are like, sign me up, I want one.
That was from Buddy and Serena.
It was. This was my Christmas present.
It's kind of mine. It's kind of mine too, though. Thank you.
William says, emotional support Marky got me through the rough times.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love this so much. It makes me happy seeing your face just pop up. You can.
I was like, why are you taking off his sweatshirt? This is such a weird day.
Okay, question number two. Emotional support, Marky, will help us. Would you rather eat only holiday food or watch only holiday movies? You're not back yet.
I'm not back yet. I need a minute. Like... what? Food or movies?
I'm so glad I did this live. This is so great.
Oh my gosh. Movies, maybe. I don't know.
You would, okay, for the whole year, would you only want
year?
To watch holiday movies or only want to eat holiday food?
Isn't it just at Christmas time, though?
No, this is the whole year.
Oh, like every holiday. Oh, not just Christmas.
Not just Christmas. All year long.
Oh, okay. Maybe the food. I mean, who wants to watch like a Thanksgiving movie over Thanksgiving food?
I am appreciating watching your blown mind try to put together
I'm trying
sentences.
So hard.
Natalie says holiday food. Joni says holiday food. Buddy says I'll have holiday steaks and holiday mashed potatoes. Abby says movies. Arabella says movies. I guess this really depends on what the holiday food consists of. Remember, I'm the weirdo at Christmas time, and I grew up eating things like lobster at Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Oh. I'll eat holiday food all year long. Mm. William says a whole year is holiday food, or he'd do a whole year of holiday food. He might get tired of the turkey, but who cares? I would not eat turkey for a whole year.
You wouldn't eat turkey at Thanksgiving.
Nope. So I'm not going to do it for a year. Abby says food matters more and it would get old fast. I can see that. Okay. We're pretty split with that. Like, there's a lot more movies than I thought there would be, though. Mm. Okay. Question number three. Would you rather only eat fruitcake for holiday desserts or never have dessert at all?
Oh, probably never. I don't. Honestly, though, I don't know that I've actually eaten fruitcake ever. I feel like I have, but I don't know that I have.
Do you remember back a couple of, like, food mashes ago where we ate the powdered things? It's like that, but harder.
Oh.
Like, it's harder to chew.
Does anyone like it? Do you guys like it?
Look at that. No dessert, never have dessert, not have dessert. Abby says she's never tried it, but she still says no dessert. Bunny says it sounds like a dietary plan.
Wow.
I'd skip desserts.
We're getting, like, no one saying that they would have it. Wow.
Fruitcake, you used it. Your argument this week was that you could use it as a weapon.
I know. I feel like I've had it, but I don't think I actually have.
Kevin says never have dessert again. No Natalie dessert. Says no dessert. No That's one is on so team fruitcake. Wow. Jane says never, period, ever, period.
Does it taste like a banana bread or something?
No.
Like the consistency
no.
of it?
No.
No. It's just
bran muffin.
Bran muffin.
Bran muffin with yucky and dense.
Ew. And
William says fruitcake tastes like antique home basements. None for me. William, I want you to write descriptions of things for a profession somehow. Like, I just Lisa, good morning.
Good
Lisa.
Morning.
Good to have you. Okay, next question. I think this may be our last question. Would you rather wrap Christmas presents for 8 hours or have to help children take picture with Santa in the mall for the same amount of time?
8 hours.
Which way would you rather spend your
day? Oh my gosh, wrap. I'd so much rather wrap by myself, isolated, than be in a mall with so many children in chaos for 8 hours.
No kidding. Lisa says wrap presents. Rachel says wrap presents. So we did Egg Fest like a couple years ago. We did something here in Albemarle where we gave away for Easter. We did a great big egg hunt. Anyway, we had Johnny dress up like the Easter Bunny for these Easter pictures. Oh. And just like having, and Abby took the pictures, Johnny was the Easter Bunny. Oh. And just the hour we did that, I'm like, no.
Oh, wow.
No, no, thank you. No, thank you. Bunny says take pictures.
Wow.
Jane says take pictures. Wow.
Wow.
Abby says she just doesn't want the kids to cry. William says, so Marky has a disdain for children?
No. Just chaos.
Here's the thing. Santa in the mall, like, it's not low stakes. These are pictures that parents have had to wait in line to take, so the parents' emotions are amped.
It's true.
Most of the kids are terrified of Santa. How many pictures have you seen where the kids are screaming the whole time?
That's true.
How many times do you think Santa has been peed on during, like, these, like, this does not sound fun.
I never thought of that.
I totally think that.
Really?
Absolutely. I wonder
wow.
this a lot. Like, I say a lot. I typically think of this once a year when I see somebody dressed up as Santa, and I'm like, I wonder how many times a kid has peed on you. Like, Kevin says, children in fear.
Children in fear often pee?
Yes.
What?
It's like a defense mechanism. Don't come near me, bam. I could actually validate this. I went over and I saw Oliver the other day, Jade and Paul's son, and my godson, and I gave him a hug, and I went to tickle him. He's like, I'm going to pee on you. I'm like, okay, good talk. Buddy says the question was to take help was to take pictures, not be Santa. It's true, but you have to help with this. So do you really think that somebody who's helping the children, like, take pictures and get them on and off is not going to also have to help clean up, like, urine? Like, I feel like it's going to be in there.
I never thought of so much urine with Santa.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I've never thought of it.
I've thought about this, too. What happens when he has to go to the bathroom? Does Santa use the bathroom in your house? Like, what's he do during all night long excursions delivering joy? Like, what's he do? Welcome to the inner workings
magic.
Of my brain. Remember
oh my
last
God.
Week when I said I think a lot? I'm sorry. Johnny said that taking the Easter Bunny was 2 hours. It was not exciting. Jane said it's a good opportunity to put on the fruit of the spirit we've been talking about. True. True. So for you people who need to work on your sanctification, you go for it, 100%. But he says also diapers are a thing. I'm so excited for Bunny to be a dad. What a good time. Lane says, I never thought of urine with Santa. I feel like we need a Book of Lunch Plus quotes. Merry Christmas, guys.
I mean, my face is on a shirt, so at this point, I feel like it could happen.
Rachel says, things I've never thought would be said on the broadcast. Hi, Becca. And then Kevin says, that's why he's fat. No bathrooms. Oh, what? This is getting intense.
Oh, my gosh.
Evan! Hi, so Evan. Good to see you. Okay, guys, let us know. Would you like us to manufacture emotional marquee support t-shirts? Like, I can't, like, 100% guarantee this, but isn't this great? I have marquee on a t-shirt. What an exciting time.
I'm still not over it. It was, like, emotionally, I need emotional support, Marky, after being emotional support, Marky.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to hop into our first official segment of the day. What's the price? We renamed it, so I had to make sure that I had it correct, followed by prayer, and then What's Right Elementary. Don't forget, at 12:15, we are hopping into What's the Word, and it's going to be great. Make sure that you stick around for that. If you can't watch the whole time, tune back in at 12:15, but we're going to hop right into What's the Price. Buddy, over to you.
Welcome to What's the Price? Do you like my Christmas suit? It has some green in it, which doesn't bode well with the background. But, you know, we're going to deal with it. All right, well, guys.
It's great. It's a see-through suit. How many people have wanted to be invisible? Mm-hmm. You're halfway there.
It's pretty cool.
It's my cloak of partial invisibility. All right, well, guys, here's how What's the Price works. What happens is I find interesting things on the internet. Today, we're going to be kind of going into interesting Christmassy things.
I thought that your brain malfunctioned.
Yeah.
I was trying to see if there was an actual like category that it can fall under, which some of them fall under a certain category, but some of them don't. So
Christmas.
It's all under Christmas though.
But you need to tell them what just happened because of one of these segments.
Oh my goodness, I meant to bring it in. Guys.
You forgot.
I forgot to bring in my show and tell item. Guys, Santar. Santar has been gifted to me. Aww. I officially have Santar on my Christmas tree. Santar Santa. If you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, you need to go back 2 weeks and watch our Price is Right, our What's the Price segment, because there is a Centaur Santa Christmas ornament, and it's amazing.
But
it's
huge. But he's been dreaming for this whole time that somebody would purchase the things that he demonstrates displays.
And it's finally happened.
It's happened.
It's happened.
And you get to be the owner.
I know. I'm so glad. All right. Well, so actually, I just realized I never really described the game. So what we're going to do is we're going to put these items on the screen. One of our contestants is going to have to guess how much they think the item costs. And we want you to participate as well.
Help.
Put in the comments how much you think these items cost. And our other contestant is going to guess whether they think it's higher or lower than said guess. All right? Abby, we'll have you guess first.
Oh, that's nice.
All right?
I like it when Abby guesses first.
All right, let's put our first item of the day.
Maybe that's not good.
What's the price? We have a bearded dragon elf costume. Do you have a pet bearded dragon? And you want to get him an elf costume? Well, you can. It's on PetSmart's website.
How much demand is there for this?
Apparently there's some kind of demand because it exists. Someone thought, I really need an elf costume for my bearded dragon.
Mark, Evangelist Mark. Oh, that's not Mark. I thought it was Mark. Yeah, I thought it was her dad. I'm like, Evangelist Mark's at $700. He's in it to win it. But no, that's just Marky.
So how big are these bearded dragons?
Ish.
They're like iguana-ish size.
Yeah.
I thought they were a lot bigger.
Yeah, we're not talking about the mammoth things.
Okay, the Gila monsters. Okay. Yeah. Well,
I see some guests. Guys, put your guess in the comments.
$25, $12.50. William says anything more than $12.50 is highway robbery.
I understand.
I understand that.
We're getting a lot of 12s. What? Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess.
Kevin Nowicki, $1,200.
Oh, okay. That helps. Thank you for that.
All right. What is your guess?
I'm going to guess $13.
$13?
$13.45.
Dixie said $0. $13.45?
$13.45.
All right, Bear, do you think it's higher or lower than $13.45?
Lower.
Lower. All right, how much is the bearded dragon pet costume thing?
Oh,
$4.99.
Yeah, buddy. Surprisingly affordable.
Surprisingly
affordable. Well, look who's going to go get a bearded dragon.
I know. The bearded dragon
with those
is probably
prices.
More expensive. But the costume. Bearded dragon sold separately.
Oh.
Just to clarify.
Oh.
All right. Let's jump into item number two for prices.
Okay, I'm ready.
Or what's the price? Item number two, we have a Santa pick-me-up costume.
Why?
It's an inflatable costume for kids where Santa is picking up you.
This is awful. Frightening.
It is kind of frightening.
Put it back up for a sec, Eo.
You're going to get kidnapped by Santa?
No,
How do you do this?
It's fun. The feet are the child. The child's legs are in the feet.
How tall is that child?
I don't know.
That's a huge kid
and a small face.
That's
super disproportionate
picture. I think it's a small Santa.
What?
I feel like that kid looks as tall as William.
Yeah.
Like there's.
Okay, he could be. I don't know.
He's like as tall as William with the face of
Luke. But the kid's feet are in the Santa feet thing.
This makes me really uncomfortable. Like, first of all,
that's the goal for what's the price.
I think that inflatable things are awful. Like, I don't like them.
Yeah.
So I don't like that.
William says abduction has never been so festive.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Dixie Bell says $99. Arabella's guess is $60. Natalie guesses $35. And Natalie Wagner, you're our 100th commenter, so you're going to get $5.
Well done,
Natalie.
Good
job.
All right, what's your guess, Barrett?
I don't know. Arabella says the dinosaur costume is like $50 for a child. Mm. Kevin Buck says $35.50 for the scary costume. I'm going to say like $52.75.
$52.75.
Yeah.
That's a decent
guess. $52?
Yep.
Where did that come from?
Taxes.
You just like lifted up your coffee. You like lifted up your coffee and sniffed it. You're like,
$52.
All right. Do you think it is higher or lower than
$52? Lower. Lower.
Lower?
Yep.
All right. How much is the interesting Santa pick-me-up costume? $29.99.
Yes.
Surprisingly affordable.
That looks
Let's get one.
Awful.
So it's 1-1 today on what's the price.
Ugh. Look at that.
See, you know what's funny? I didn't know how weird that was until we got live
until
now.
Right
I'm
now.
Like, this is an interesting item. Let's put it on there. And then I'm like, you know what? It's kind of creepy. All right. Item number three for today's what's the price. We have a knitted Santa hat and beard.
I've priced this.
Wait
of
a second.
Of course you have.
Is that guy's head huge?
Yeah, I think they...
Oh, they like blew his head up?
Yeah, just a little. I mean, it exploded.
I mean, not like explosion type, but okay. Because it's...
But it's a bearded Santa hat and a knitted Santa hat beard combination.
Is this from like Etsy or something?
That's a solid question.
No, this is actually a website that makes knitted hat beards.
I've heard of them. I haven't priced them, but I've heard of them.
We have several prices coming in. Jade wants that. She wants a Santa beard.
Jade, I have questions. For Paul or for you?
That's probably for her.
Okay. Just clarifying. Well, we have $12 all the way to like $35.99.
We have quite a bit. All right, how much do you think it costs?
I think $20. I feel confident in that answer. Yep.
You feel confident in that answer?
$20.
All right.
Higher because markup.
Higher. Because markup.
Taxes. Yes,
taxes. All right. How much is the knitted Santa hat and beard? It is $29.99.
Kevin Nowicki says he has one. Of course he does.
What?
So I feel like it's super redundant for you to have one at this point
in time. Since you already have a Santa beard.
It'd like stick out.
Oh, he says he's just kidding.
Oh.
He's probably talking about his real beard. See, his beard is like slowly turning white and it's getting more and more jolly. And like,
jolly.
We were talking the other day, Kevin, you're hearing this for the first time. But we're convinced that you accidentally killed Santa Claus and you're slowly turning into him. Like the Santa Claus. The Santa Claus movie. Remember when he killed Santa and he started turning into Santa? Because, like, there's nice white...
Let's keep going so we're not accusing a murder on TV. Amen.
We have a Christmas tree dress. No.
This is amazing.
Oh, it's they call it a dress. This is for on Forever 21's website.
Of course it is.
It comes with the shoes, the Christmas present shoes. This beautiful Christmas tree dress.
I get more disappointed with the internet the more we play this.
Oh, that is not what I'm feeling.
Why are you disappointed?
I'm so pleased with where we've come today as a society. Oh, this is amazing.
William says, festive capital murder. What next? Started with urine, went to that. Here we go. Kevin Buck says, hideous, $32. So Forever 21 is super cheap stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, their stuff falls apart really quickly, so they can market it for cheap.
Good to know.
Oops. Dixie says she loves the shoes. Natalie's guessing $40. I'm going to say $37.82.
Taxes.
Yep,
taxes.
All right, $37.82. Do you think it's higher or lower than $37.82?
Lower?
Lower than $37.82? Okay, how much is this Christmas tree dress? It is
$39.99. Wow.
You were very close.
I was within $5.
You were within $5.
Does that count? 2 points.
So it's what, 4-1? Is that where we're at now?
I think so.
Come on, guys.
You're doing so well, Abby.
Doing so well.
All right, next item. Next item we have. Everyone's been waiting for this.
Absolutely.
We have the official Baby Yoda Christmas sweater. And Kevin, I'm so glad you're not offended.
It's happened. It's happened. Baby Grogu.
Ew.
It's Baby Yoda.
Yes. I refuse to call him that.
Same.
Everyone does. And it was marked, it was labeled as the Baby Yoda Christmas sweater.
Good.
And the little Baby Yoda, it stands out. It's not just like printed on.
It's like
a sewn-on stuffed animal.
It's like the baby carrier thing.
So you're basically like a kangaroo Yoda mom. Like it just is.
Essentially,
there.
That's pretty much one of my life goals. Ben Barrett has priced this.
I have not. I have not thought, man, George would like to look like this. But I will now.
Yep. All right. Well, guys, put your guesses in the comments. While Abby begins to ponder. We'll make this one worth
pondering.
4 points.
4 points.
Grogu sounds like a foot fungus.
That's true.
It really does.
That's true.
A $40 foot fungus.
All right, we're going 35, 33, 40.
Those are a lot of numbers.
They are a lot of numbers. I'm thinking like in the 42, 45. Marky, you have no room to tell me to be more decisive. If anything, I feel like I've gotten less decisive since knowing you.
Emotional support, Marky's here to help.
Come on, Marky, help.
She's here to help. You can, you will.
Give us your thanks.
You have 5 seconds.
All she's saying is yelling quicker.
42.95.
42.95. Yep. All right, Bear, do you think it's higher or lower than 42.95?
Where are you buying it from?
The internet.
But what website?
A website on the internet.
It's important, buddy.
I know it's important, but I like.
It's okay.
I don't memorize all.
Lower.
Things. Lower than 42.95.
Sure. It's probably 45, but we'll
it
say lower.
It is actually 49.95.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
That.
You're not spending that.
No.
But you got a little.
A little baby Yoda.
Nope, I'm good.
All right, well, guys, thank you for joining us for The Price Is Right. What's the price? We changed the name. I'm still getting used to it.
What accent just came out of your mouth?
It was something.
What just happened?
Welcome, or thank you for joining us for What's the Price? We're going to be transitioning now into our next segment.
Prayer! We're going to pray because we need
prayer.
Thank you.
Pray for us.
for prayer. And here on the Lunch Plus broadcast, we believe that the power of prayer works when we work the word works for us. And here's why, because God upholds his word. If God speaks something, he wants it to come to pass and he will make it happen as we apply our faith with his word. We get to partner with God, which is awesome because God trusts us. See, God trusts us with his word. He's gifted it to us. And so we get to demonstrate to God the love that we have for him and the faithfulness that we have toward his word by believing it together. So as we kick off prayer, we are going to put up these two confessions. We have confessions that we go through. Confessions are a part of prayer. It's speaking the word of God out in faith. And we're going to put these up. They come directly from the word of God. So to start off prayer, I want you to join your voice with mine. Let's say these together. Speak them out with authority, the same way you'd say them to your kids. And let's speak the things of God together. Confession number 6 says, we keep increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Now, that was just a warm-up. Let's say it again together. We keep increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And let's put up confession number 7. I love this one. The struggle is over. Hallelujah. Now, I want to take the next couple minutes and pray for you. Pray the blessings of God on your life and just pray out these confessions. God, I thank you for every viewer watching. Thank you for their life. Thank you, God, just for bringing them to this broadcast. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for them. They are gifts to us, Lord. Thank you for these viewers. Thank you. Thank you. God, we come before you with thankfulness this morning. Thank you for them. Thank you, God. Lord, I ask in Jesus' mighty name that things that were once hard become easy today. Let things that were once difficult become easy today as they hear the word of God and apply it, Lord. Let things just become easier. Lord, your word says that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So I command in the name of Jesus, work problems become easy now in Jesus' name. I command finances to work in Jesus' name. Come in now. Let surprise checks come in the mail. Lord, where there has been a financial deficit, I ask that for every person under the sound of my voice who would apply faith toward it, that you show yourself strong on their behalf in the arena of finance. God, I thank you for it. Thank you, God, for your favor in their finances. Thank you, God, for favor in their finances. Lord, where there were once bills and a lack of money, give them an abundance of finances. Let the ravens bring finances to them. I command things that were hard to become easy. Difficult family situations, Lord, become easy now through the grace of God. Lord, thank you that your favor is on each and every single viewer right now. Lord, thank you that your divine favor goes before them. Thank you that the grace of God is the empowerment to do what you've called them to do, to live how you've called them to live. Lord, let your empowerment come upon them now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just declare that health is theirs in the name of Jesus. Every weapon of sickness formed against our viewers' bodies in Jesus' mighty name, I command bodies to line up with the word of God. I command bodies to line up with the will of God. Every sickness, every disease, every attack, Lord, break it now in Jesus' mighty name. We command that the stronghold of sickness and disease, that stronghold is broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that every weapon formed against our viewers, it's exposed now. Every weapon of darkness, every weapon of the enemy, it's exposed, will not prosper, and it is destroyed in Jesus' name. God, thank you. I ask right now blessings to come upon your viewers. Blessing of the Lord be on their home. Blessing of the Lord be in their marriages. Blessing of the Lord be in their schooling. Blessing of the Lord be on their jobs. Lord, let them be blessed beyond measure. And God, we ask that the light of God shine brightly in every area of their life.
Uncover every bit of hidden darkness that they didn't even know was there, and let your light show so brightly shine that it illuminates every nook, every cranny, every corner, God. Let there be no area in the hearts of the men and women watching that has darkness attached to it. Let the light of God illuminate their soul in every area, their mind, their will, their emotions. God, let them see what is the hope of their calling. Let their eyes be enlightened, that they may see. Once they were blind, but now they see. I command every viewer's eyes to be open, that they may see hope, that they may see Jesus, that they may see what is the hope that God has given to them. Make them to see as they have never seen before today, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, your word is capable. You are faithful, and you are able to perform your word. You are faithful. You guard your word. You look over after it, ensuring that it comes to pass. We believe that we receive the fulfillment of these prayers today in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for making it come to pass. Thank you for bringing it to pass. Lord, peace of God be in every viewer's home. Peace of God be in their minds. Peace of God be at their jobs. Peace be in Jesus' name. When they lay their head down on their pillow tonight, peace be in Jesus' name. When they are with their families, peace be in Jesus' name. Lord, as they're celebrating Christmas this year, peace be. Blessing of God be. Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you for your peace, even here in the studio right now. Thank you for your peace. Lord, we receive it. Thank you, God. Shokomboko, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Put on thankfulness right now. I know I'm going a little bit longer than I normally do, but just put on that thankfulness right now. Thank God for the peace of God that he's given to you, because he's giving it to you now, wherever you are, no matter where you're at, work, home, whatever. The peace of God is yours. Thank you, God, for your peace. Thank you, God, for peace in the middle of a storm. Thank you, God, for peace in the valley and peace on the mountaintop. Thank you for peace. Thank you, God. You're the God of peace. Thank you for being our defender. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you, God. Thankfulness is the key to your presence, Lord. And today, as we learn how to be led more by you, help us to learn how to be thankful in a new level of thankfulness. We thank you for answering these prayers. We love you. We praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. And so does Emotional Support Marky. She loves you too. And now we're going to hop into What's Right Elementary. It's going to be a good episode with Buddy and the girls. It's going to be great.
Everyone, and welcome to What's Right Elementary. I don't know what that was, but welcome to What's Right Elementary. Here's what this segment looks like. All right, for those of you who have never been a part of this segment, what we do is we put questions from. We're basically testing to see why am I not finishing any of my sentences. We're testing to see if you would pass elementary school.
Elementary. Right?
Yeah, okay. Like elementary grammar and sentence structure and stuff.
And finishing sentences.
Yes.
Oh.
Barrett said, oh, buddy. Oh, Jade says, this is Scarlett's favorite.
Aww,
oh, this is great.
That's
so
sweet.
So, you know, in light of that, What we would normally do is we would have questions from first grade level to fifth grade level in different subjects. That's what we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know what happens oftentimes in elementary school during the week before Christmas is everything is Christmas themed. Everything is, you know, everything is different. You're kind of more relaxed. You know, you do
Christmas parties
and stuff like that in your
school.
So what we're doing now is we're actually going to do some Christmas trivia for today's What's Right Elementary.
I'm laughing because Marky's like, oh, because she was homeschooled. And she has no idea that that happens.
I didn't. Are you not kidding? That really happened?
There's Christmas parties.
You have Christmas-themed school, though?
Yes. No, kind of. I mean, like, well, you weren't graded on Christmas stuff.
No, but
you'll have, like, a Christmas party. Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. Things are a little bit more relaxed and fun
during
the week before Christmas. Because,
Because
no one's in the mind and matter to do schoolwork anyway during this week, so... William said, are we going to watch Polar Express and drink hot chocolate in the library?
Yeah. That's what we did at our school.
No, that's
so
not
cool.
What we did.
This is fun.
Yeah, so we're
going to...
Barrett said, what? I think that's because this is like one of the first times she's not been on this segment and we're not doing actual difficult trivia questions.
Yes.
Hey, Jew and Greek, good to see you on the broadcast today. So right now, we're getting... So very soon, we're going to be diving into our topic today on how can I tune into God's voice.
Yeah.
But right now, we're going to be doing a quick moment of Christmas trivia.
Yay!
This is exciting.
And so what we want you guys to do is whenever the questions come up, we want you to put your answers in the comments as well.
Yes, help.
But what I'm going to have you guys, since this is school, you know, we're in What's Right Elementary, is whenever the question is asked, you raise your hand. All right, the first person to raise their hand will get to answer the question.
Aww.
If you get it wrong, we will defer to the other person, and they will be able to get it, give their guess.
I didn't do that in school. I just went, Mom!
Oh, is that how it works? Yeah, that's not how it's going to work here. You can't just yell, Mom!
That's rude. You get sent to the principal's office.
Exactly. So... Yeah, you get sent to the principal's
dad.
Office.
That was a joke! Yeah. My dad said he was the principal. Okay,
really?
Anyway, game. Amen. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're coffee jump.
I think Marky's really excited about this.
I am.
I think now that the aspect of we're not doing difficult trivia questions.
Yes, that's exciting.
That is out of the way.
Okay. Yep.
But
I'm
know,
ready.
This might not be the easiest Bible trivia. Okay, I guess we're jumping in.
Yes.
Right. Our first question. Who is put on trial in A Miracle on 34th Street? I'm going to have to give it to her because her hand was already like here. Who was put on trial in A Miracle on 34th
Street. No, you can't think about it. Wow.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I'm
ready. Get your answer out.
Right.
Santa.
Final answer?
Yep.
It was indeed Santa Claus.
Dang it, that was my guess.
It was indeed Santa Claus.
That was really just a guess.
Do you remember why he was put on trial?
Kris Kringle.
Huh? Yeah.
Do you remember why he was
still
put on trial?
Santa.
Why was he put on trial, Abby?
Huh?
You got this question right.
This is
why
bonus
was he put
points.
On trial?
Bonus points. Why was he put on trial?
Because he's sneaking into people's houses every night.
No. Actually, I don't even remember.
William, then don't say no. That could have been right. Like, no,
I know that that's not right, but William said, for once, I have absolutely no clue. Wow. I don't think that's ever happened.
Wow.
Oh, because he thought he was actually the actual Santa.
Yeah.
Because of Macy's. Oh, yeah, because he wrote everything down on his little form.
Oh, that's
Santa
creepy.
Claus, North Pole, and stuff.
Yes, question number two.
Wow, Barrett didn't know that one either. I thought that was an easy one. Okay. What did... Stop reading it before I read it. What toy...
Sorry.
Because you guys are like, I haven't even gotten to read it yet. What toy did everyone want to get in Jingle All the Way? Sorry, I just like rebuked you guys. I apologize. Like, stop reading it. No. All right.
It hurt a little bit, but it's okay. I've never seen it, but I just watched the trailer, and I'm pretty sure it's like a robot toy. Like,
what is it called, Abby?
Whoa, okay.
Because I can say robot toy, too.
Okay, children.
If you raise your hand,
just as
you could have said it.
We need something more specific than a robot toy doll. I'm sorry. Because it is what toy?
Yes.
What toy?
Turbo Man.
Oh,
you got that because Paul said
it. Oh, dang it!
You got that.
Come on!
You just kind of like delayed a little bit until it came up in the comments.
Dang it!
It's called using your resources.
All right, instead of raising your hand.
Oh, Oh, we have a bell. Okay.
Yes. Kevin Nowicki said, oh my. William said, emotionally distraught, Marky.
You're not supporting
me, Marky. She's
cheating.
She's putting her hand up and answer it to get answer the question without knowing it.
That's true. Yes, and it is Turbo Man. And as Paul said, it is not a robot.
Okay, fine.
Turbo Man's not a
question
robot.
Question number three.
All right. Ready. What did George promise to get Mary in It's a Wonderful Life?
Lasso the moon.
That is indeed correct. It is the moon.
Yes!
It is indeed the moon.
I'm honestly relieved that you knew that because I was going to say, like, they're going to get married. Something like that.
Yeah, and you're probably going to ding it without knowing it.
Sure.
But I would have guessed.
Wow.
It's not against the rules, Marky.
This is getting a little intense. Oh, okay. I'm seeing him. Jade says, throw her under that bus, girl.
I don't know who she's talking to.
I don't either, but it's still funny. All right, next question.
Don't read it.
How many ghosts visit Scrooge in A Christmas Carol?
You already read it, and I didn't read it.
Well, you hit the bell first.
Answer.
That's what matters.
Three.
No.
Four.
It is indeed
Five.
Four.
No. Who was?
We are.
Are you counting like the
Jacob Marley?
Yeah.
He's the fourth.
You know what? It worked out because I was gonna say three, and then you said wrong, and then I remembered it was four. So
that's cheating.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. We like to bamboozle you guys every once in a while here.
I'm so happy it worked out.
In What's Right Elementary.
Yes.
All right, that was our final question, was it not?
What? Oh, wow. One more.
Oh, there's one more.
Okay, I'm not looking. Don't look.
Final question. Which Christmas song is the best-selling single of all time?
Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
You said that so calm, but no. There is a Christmas song that is indeed the best-selling single of all time.
Does anyone have any guesses?
Yeah, guys, put in the comments if you want to help.
Do you have
Mark
a guess?
Yeah. Do you guys know?
Did you say White Christmas?
Yep.
Is that what you said?
Nope.
It said White Christmas.
Said Blue Christmas.
You gotta ding the bell.
White Christmas.
Yes, it is.
Yay!
White Christmas by Bing
It worked
Crosby.
Out again.
Yeah, Kevin Nowicki got it in the comments. White Christmas.
Yes.
White Christmas is the...
Yes.
It has 50 million sales, that single.
Wow.
And the second place, I forget what second place is of all time, but it's like in the 30 million.
It's because it has its own movie with Bing Crosby in it.
That's probably what it is.
True.
Wow, that was awesome.
All right, well, guys.
Did I win?
I don't remember. I wasn't keeping score.
I wasn't counting.
Was anyone watching keeping score?
Oh, my
Bear,
gosh.
Were you keeping score? I was not keeping score, so I cannot
I think
you.
I think you won.
We'll just call it a tie, because, you know, this is just we just do this for fun.
Yeah, this is for fun. It's just
this
a tie.
For fun. Well
we
done,
tied.
Guys. All right.
No, Pastor said no.
No participation trophies here.
I think there were five questions, so I don't think we could have tied.
No, you couldn't have. No. But, you know. Jew and Greek said, followed closely by Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I'm sure.
Yep.
That's great. All right, well, guys, yeah, Scarlett said it wasn't super elementary. It really wasn't, and I apologize for that.
Sorry, guys.
All right, well, guys, thank you for joining us for What's Right Elementary. Now we're going to be moving on to What's the Word. Pastor has a powerful word for you today as we're talking about how you can tune in to God's voice. It's going to be super powerful. And guys, we also want to add this. For those of you who will be in the area, on Sunday we have a special Christmas service here at Boomerang Church at 10 a.m. And we want to encourage you to join us, be here for that special Christmas service at Boomerang. It's going to be powerful. We have giveaways. We have a gift for every child. It's going to be great. A powerful, relevant message. If you're in the area, make sure you join us for Christmas at Boomerang Church. With that being said, now we're going to be transitioning into What's the Word with Pastor. We'll see you right there.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
Hey guys, welcome to What's the Word? We just praise God for you. If you're just now joining us or you haven't done it already, share the broadcast, like it, subscribe, and we are well on the way. We are right at 100 on YouTube right now. It's still a fairly new channel, but we want to get over that 100 mark right away. Share it everywhere. Share the link everywhere. And today we're talking about, can I tune in to God? In other words, can I hear Him more clearly? Maybe I'm hearing the Lord every now and then, but can I get that louder in my spirit? Can I get it more often? And the answer is yes, and we're going to go over that. You know, over the last few days, we've answered several questions. Today, we're going to wrap up the How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. We're going to wrap up that series. But if you haven't heard the 3 days prior to this, we talked about, can you hear the voice of God? What does God sound like? Is that gut feeling? Is that God talking to me? And today, how to tune in to the Lord. And throughout all 4 days, we've given you the benefits of hearing from the Lord and walking out His plans. But we've also looked at, how can I hear from the Lord more? How can I hear from the Lord better? How can I hear from the Lord and it's more loud in my life? We're going to give you more of those steps today. And we're jumping in right now. So today is, can I tune into the voice of God? Yes. Yes, you can. Let me give you some scriptures. One of the things that we're going to look at is actually answering this question is more of our points on how to hear from the Lord better than you have. So as we've been going through, I think we've given you about 10 different points. Today, we're going to look at a couple more on how can I tune into the Lord even better. And the first thing that I would say, it's kind of like if you remember older radios, there's a signal out there, but you'd have to tune to those places. You'd have to tune in to God in those places. You'd have to tune into that radio signal. In other words, the signal's being broadcast. God is not withholding any good thing. And let me tell you, for those people that walk uprightly, and let me tell you that His voice is a good thing. His voice is a good thing. And so how many people, just put it in the comments right now, this has taken my hearing from the Lord up to another level. Put a hands up in the comment and let us know that it's been a blessing to you. So one of the things that you see is He's always broadcasting, but are we always tuned in? Well, one of the ways, the next point in how to tune in and how to hear from the Lord better is this, is you must remove hindrances. Somebody please drop that in the comments. You must remove hindrances. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It's a great, great verse, and it's one of my favorites because it helps me to remember that I have a purpose. I'm running a race, and I need to make sure that I'm running in the way that I should. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, or the King James says, every weight, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. In other words, when we set aside hindrances, our next step is to set our eyes on Jesus. Or when we set aside hindrances, our next step is that we will start to see Him and hear Him better. We must make sure that we are performing this responsibility as a believer. And in order to hear Him, we must lay aside every hindrance. Every hindrance is going to slow us up in the race that God's given us. It's going to hold us back from the responsibility. And I want you to hear this, that if you are not being led by God, that is also a hindrance to you running your race. How can you be willing and obedient? How can you be obedient if you haven't heard? If you haven't heard, there's nothing to be obedient to. So it will get you off course. It will get you off track. It will get you in the wrong place. So what are some of the things that the Bible has said are hindrances to us hearing? Well, one of those is pride. You know, pride is a hindrance and it will block you from hearing God. So when we will take pride and get rid of it, what we'll actually do is tune in to the voice of God. Pride will block us from hearing. Why? Because there's no humility in it, right? When we seek Him with all of our heart, we're basically putting on a humility that says, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I want. Pride will say, I don't need to hear from you. I've got everything that I need. And so there'll be no hunger for His voice. And so you won't be filled with hearing it. All right. Another hindrance, and these are just a few hindrances, but they are major ones, and they will keep us from tuning in to God. Another one is unforgiveness. The Bible talks about when we are walking in unforgiveness, we won't hear from the Lord. The full counsel of the Word shows us that unforgiveness will set us and separate us from God. Basically, any hindrance that will separate you from God is a hindrance that will keep you from hearing His voice clearly. Put that in the comments. Any hindrance that separates us from God will keep me from hearing His voice clearly. This is another big one, offense. So these hindrances that I've said so far, pride, unforgiveness, offense. When we take offense, at people, many times what will happen is we are actually saying, I'm offended, and we're saying, what you're saying and doing is more important than what God says. What you're saying and doing against me, I'm going to pay more attention to that than my Savior who will pull me out of that. We end up separating ourselves from God as the source, and in that action, we actually separate ourselves again from the voice of God. And then this one is a huge one. I want to take a little bit of time here. So hindrances that will keep us from hearing from God and hindrances that we should remove in our life, absolutely pay attention to these. Pride. And listen, when pride, unforgiveness, offense, and a hardened heart. Now, when I say remove these things, I'm not talking about having knowledge that they will keep you from the voice of God. I'm talking about a proactive stance that says, let me constantly look at these areas in my life and be diligent and aggressive about any hindrance, or like Hebrews 12:1 says, remove these encumbrances and the sin that so easily will entangle us or will stop us from running our race. In other words, our job is not to just know that they will entangle us. Our job is to deal with them proactively. Don't let them linger. But that also means taking a humble approach to say, could I have this operating in my life? Well, let me tell you, as long as you have a flesh, that you have not received a new glorified body, you have an old body that has not been renewed, you're going to have the ability to have missed it. Now, that doesn't mean you will miss it and doesn't mean you have to miss it. It just means it's always going to be talking to you. It's always going to be there, and it's always going to be trying to lead you after the corruption. The father of corruption is the devil. It's always going to be trying to lead you to corruption. And so you have to proactively say, do I have the ability to think the wrong thoughts? Well, because I have a flesh, I do. Now, I'm not planning on it, and I don't believe that I'm going to have any hard times or a hard time getting rid of it or even recognizing it. But I do recognize, as long as I have a flesh, that I have a corruption built into that flesh, and that flesh is going to be trying to get its voice in my mind, and I must constantly keep my mind renewed by the Word of God, and that means I must constantly take a look at these hindrances and put them in their place. And so if we're going to hear the voice of God and we're going to tune in to God's channel and hear Him clearly and loudly and with good volume in our spiritual lives, we must remove hindrances. The last one I want to talk about is that hardened heart. Now, a hardened heart is just this. This is a huge one. I mean, this is absolutely huge. A hardened heart is one of the worst things that you can have. And the truth is, In my experience as a pastor, I've seen more Christians with a hardened heart than they would ever like to believe. This hardened heart has been a major problem, and the Lord really got on to the Jews for having a hardened heart. And what you see is in like Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, here God moves strongly on their behalf, and he gets them out from bondage, takes them out from the nation of bondage, breaks the yoke. He puts them in the middle and in the front of the Red Sea, and then the Egyptians come up, and immediately, instead of saying, "Our God will deliver us," they go, "Oh, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die?" And you know the story. God splits the Red Sea. He completely destroys their enemies. He brings them through the desert, miraculously feeds them with quail and manna and water from a rock, miracle after miracle after miracle, but their heart was constantly hardened. And here's the issue. Their heart was dull in their sight of God. Their heart was dull in how they saw God. They did not see God as a loving Father. They constantly were wanting more from him and forgetting what he had done. Their heart was dull and hardened. Some of the ways a Christian can be hardened in their heart is they're dull and they're unbelieving. They are not in rest. If you find stuff going on and Christians are not resting, what they've done is they've forgotten how big God is. They've forgotten. And if we start getting to this place, what happens is our senses towards God start to become less. Again, the symptoms of a hardened heart: dull, unbelieving, a lack of unbelieving. When I say unbelieving, I mean we're not only are we not looking to believe in him, but or we have no faith in God to deliver us. A lack of rest. And I'm not talking about a lack of sleep. That could be a further symptom. But what I'm saying is we're not in the state of rest in him. Lord, everything, the valley of the shadow of death surrounds me, but I will fear no evil because you are with me. And we rest in that truth. We rest in that promise. Offense. Offense is a hardened heart. No knowledge of God. In other words, you don't know him like you should. In other words, there's not an intimate fellowship with him ongoing every day. So I think if Christians literally took a proactive look at each one of these symptoms, they would say, "I'm not really hungry for him. I've not humbled myself after him. I'm dull. I'm not believing him on the level that I should." So let me give you an idea of this. Let me give you a quick example of this. In this word, one of the things that you see is that we should be performing the acts of Christ like he did. We should have fruit. Remember, the Bible is very, very clear. If you don't have fruit, God's going to prune and give to those that do have fruit. In other words, he says, fruit is very serious with God. And what kind of fruit am I talking about? The kind of fruit that I'm talking about is, number one, we are in an intimate fellowship with God. Number one, fruit, an intimate fellowship with God. Two, we are winning souls. Three, we are making disciples. Fourth fruit, we are operating in supernatural power, miracles, healing, supernatural power. Let's say even supernatural debt being erased. In other words, we should have physical testimonies of God's supernatural power in and around us all the time. The fifth fruit is seeing supernatural revelation. Supernatural revelation. In other words, we have words of wisdom, words of knowledge. We have things that are coming forth out of us. In other words, I hear it all the time when I minister. People are like, "Pastor, get the microphones out of my home. I just was talking about that this morning on the way to church." You know, things like that. That word was right on time. "Pastor, how did you know that?" You know, and it's because I'm getting supernatural revelation from my intimacy with God. And then the sixth fruit is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control, all of those that's listed there, the fruit of the Spirit. Those six fruits should be in our lives all the time. But the truth is, how many believers are there in such an intimacy with God and such a place with God that they're walking full of the glory? How many believers are walking in the supernatural power that people that come within their shadow feel the glory of God? I've had moments like this. How many people, they're operating words of wisdom, words of knowledge, revelation all the time. Where is this fruit? How many believers? Most churches have been winning. They have about 100 people, $100,000 budget a year, and they're winning less than 2 people a year to the Lord. This year, our ministry here, it's about that size. We've won over 2,100 commitments to Christ this year with the lockdown. Why? Because our heart is set towards fruit. Our heart is set towards fruit. If we are not seeing the fruit of God, it shows that we have a hardened heart. Moses didn't have Jesus, and yet he was so hungry for God that he went after God and he said, Lord, show me your glory. And God didn't zap him. God didn't beat him down. He didn't even chastise him. No, I think God was pleased. Why? Because he said, I can't show you everything you're asking for, but I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. In other words, this will be, you can't see my face, but my goodness. Moses gets so lit up in the presence of God, his face is shining with the glory of God. The tangible presence of God was shining on him. They had to put a veil over his face because it was scaring people. Now listen, Moses is under the law. He's under the curse. He doesn't have Jesus, and he has this kind of relationship with God. What is available to us today? And the question is, how come believers and pastors are not going after that kind of walk with God? How come they're not doing it? Because of hardened hearts. We're not hungry. We've forgotten him. We've moved into dullness. We've not put faith in him for these big things and the little things. We're not resting in him. We've turned to the world's ways. And instead of God being our source, the world is always our first go-to, right? We're offended. Well, I just don't understand. You know, I love God. I go to church. I give some money there. Why did God let this happen to me? We're offended, right? All of this are signs of a hardened heart. And they're not walking in this intimate fellowship with God that God wants with every person and every believer. We're hardened in our heart. We've been hardened in our heart as a church in America. And maybe the church around the world, but I can speak for the church in America. We have been hardened in our walk, and it's time for us to step out of that hardness so that we can hear from God clearly what he wants us to do. Even look at Enoch. That just keeps coming up to me. Look at Enoch. Here's a man under the curse of sin, and yet he's walking and talking with God so much that God says, I'm taking you on with me. What? He's walking and talking with God, and he didn't have Jesus. What's available for you and I today? What, he's sitting there. Is Enoch hearing the voice of God? Absolutely. He's walking and talking with God. Why? He wasn't hardened toward him. No, he was jumping into an intimacy, a fellowship with God, a knowing of God. We must ditch, proactively, we must ditch a hardened heart. And we have to say, Lord, help me to see where I've been hardened. Just put that in the comments right now. Just type it in. Say, Lord, help me to see where I have been hardened in my heart. Help me to see. Glory to God. Now, the next thing that we'll look at how to tune in and how to grow. Oh, let me share this with you before I go. Matthew 13:14 on a hardened heart. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. The case that he's talking about, a hardened heart. When you have a hardened heart, you will hear, but you won't really hear. You'll see, but you won't really see. But when we start working on our hardened heart and we're proactive and we're removing the hindrances, hindrances of pride, unforgiveness, offense, a hardened heart, we will start to tune in to God like never before. I'm going to give you another example of that here. Here's the next point. So that was the point about removing hindrances will cause us to hear from the Lord better. Here's the next one. Say yes to God. When God asks you for something, say yes quickly, enthusiastically. Say yes to God. This is the next point. Somebody put it in the comments. Say yes to God. Say yes to God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. We talked about this yesterday. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. In other words, they will stop believing. They will stop believing the same way that they did. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, they'll start listening to the wrong thing and stop listening to the right thing. They'll stop doing, watch this, they'll stop taking the right actions and they'll start taking the wrong actions. And what happens when they do that? By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. In other words, when they start listening to the wrong voices and they start doing the wrong things, what are they doing? They're telling God no. They're saying, no, I'm not going to do it the way you told me to. I'm not going to listen to you. And what does the Bible tell us that happens? All of a sudden, they're seared. Like if you took a hand, like I was talking about yesterday, and put it on a hot plate or put it on the stove top, right? You would sear those nerve endings or you would sear your sensitivity to the things of God. He's saying your conscience or your heart, the sensitivity to the Holy Ghost will be seared. To hear God's voice, it'll be seared. You won't be sensitive to it anymore. So every time we tell God no, we literally tune away from God's channel. Look at this, Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. Remember, the point is say yes to God quickly. Walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. In other words, see, when they were led by a fleshly and a corrupted mind, the Lord calls it futile. Like it's not even worth it. It's not even worth it. He says, and as they did that, they walk. When they walked like the Gentiles in the futility of their mind, when they took actions contrary to God, thought contrary to God, watch what happens. They were darkened in their understanding. In other words, revelation ceases. When they say yes to the world and no to God, revelation ceases. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. It brings ignorance. It brings a darkened state. Because of the hardness of their heart, so see, this goes together with removing hindrances, they have become callous. They have become callous. They have seared their conscience. They become callous because they've gone after a way that's not God's way. They've gone after a way that's not God's way. So what you see is, and watch this, in the old radios, I was showing my daughter the other day, radios used to, they weren't digital. and you'd not press a button and it would focus right in and tune right in on the exact station. No, that wasn't the way. That wasn't the way it worked. You would actually hit a button. It would have a dial of all the radio stations and you would hit one button that was pretty close to that radio station, right? And if you don't know what you used to do is you'd get it on the radio station and tune it, then you'd pull the button out and that would set that place. And so then when you'd push it in, no matter where it was at, it would pull it close. It would pull it close. Some were better at it than others. And then you would have on the radio, you would have a tuning knob, a tuning knob. And then you would get it right on that channel. But it wasn't like digital, put it on 0.1. No, it would throw it, if it was like 98.1, it'd throw it somewhere near 98. somewhere near 98. And then you would tune to that decimal point, you know. And then some radios would even have like a fine tuning knob that would get it in. And the more you would tune in, it would get more clear and more loud. But this verse here, these two verses from Timothy and Ephesians show us this. If we can use that as an example, it's every time we say no to God, we literally tune away from God. And we become callous. It becomes harder to hear him. It becomes harder to sense what he's saying. But listen, here's the other side of that. Every time we say yes to him quickly and enthusiastically and with expectation, we literally tune into him. And if you remember those radios, it's kind of cool because you can be going on and it's static. And then all of a sudden you get close to it and you start to hear him talking again. You start to hear his voice saying yes to God. You start to hear, and then you keep on saying yes to God, and all of a sudden it gets more clear, and now it's not a mix of garbled garbage and a voice. No, it becomes just the voice. And then also the closer you get that, the louder it gets. Not only is it more clear, but the volume increases as well because you get right on his channel. Hear this. God is not withholding any good thing from those who walk uprightly. He is broadcasting his plans to his people. Hear that. Put that in the comments. God is always broadcasting his plan to his people. He's always doing it. He's broadcasting his plan to his people. But when we say no, we turn off of that. But when we say yes, we tune into it. So can we tune into God? Yes, we can tune into God. Yes, we can. But we've got to take the actions. We've got to remove hindrances, and we have to tune in to God by saying yes to him quickly, enthusiastically, with expectation. God, when I tell you yes, great things are going to happen. Great things are going to happen. Glory to God. All right, now, yesterday, let me just go through this real quick and talking about how to be led by God. The things that we've covered so far is how hearing from the Lord really benefits us. But here are the steps that I've given you so far, just kind of to catch us up. The first step of how to hear and how to be led by God is understand the three parts of man, spirit, soul, and body. The second step is don't be intellectual and emotional, right? Don't come from the worldly, intellectual, and emotional state. That's not your source. Hearing from the Spirit of God is your source. The third thing is be willing to ditch old habits. Set old fleshly, worldly habits aside. Many people are so much in their habits that they're not willing to hear that God's wanting them to change. The fourth thing is this: remove all bias. Remove all bias. Be good with whatever God tells you, whether you feel like you will like it or not. The fifth thing, move by the peace of God. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The sixth thing, ask God. Ask him. If we lack wisdom, ask God. The seventh thing, be patient. Let the Lord develop the full story. Don't go on half revelation. Be patient. By faith and patience, we inherit the promises. The eighth thing is operate at the right time. Operate at the right time. In other words, know the what and the when. Move at the right time. Don't assume the timing. That's a better way to say that. Don't assume the timing. Hear from the Lord. The ninth thing is utilize the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit. And when we utilize the Holy Spirit, you'll notice that all of the leading is almost always tied to the Holy Ghost. Utilize the Holy Spirit. Be born again. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Be born again. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Pray a lot in the Spirit. We talked about that yesterday. All right, now the tenth thing is utilize the gifts that God has given you. Utilize the gifts that God has given you. Utilize the gifts. Now, what am I talking about in the gifts? I'm going to give you three different areas of gifts. The first thing is wise counsel or scripture. When it talks about wise counsel, one of the things that's really talking, or I'm going to give you two groups, excuse me. When it talks about wise counsel, it's really talking about the wise counsel of Scripture or the full counsel of Scripture. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." In other words, our life is in every scripture that God's given us. The word is our nutrition. The word is going to show us what his leading is. It is life and fullness. If you go to John 10:10, you know, Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." Right? To steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I've come. Jesus said, but I've come to give you life to the full till it overflows. I've come to give you that life. And so we are supposed to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what we have right here is a fullness of the Word of God. I mean, it is a fullness of the Word of God, and every word will give us life. It'll give us life, it'll give us nutrition, and as we read this Word and we take the counsel, we're utilizing the gift of His Word, the gift of the full counsel of God as we study the Word and renew our mind, and what will happen is you will hear it. Just this morning, I was reading something in Jeremiah, and man, talk about a convicting chapter. Israel had messed up, and then Jeremiah 2 is kind of God's response to their messing up. And I'm reading through it like, man, I need to humble myself. I need to make sure I'm in the right spot, make sure my heart is right, make sure that I'm in awe of God. But I read one verse in there, and I saw something that I'd never seen before, something that God actually is showing how to live and how to approach a certain item. I'm like, man, that is so good, so good. It fed my spirit, man. It showed me what the voice of the Lord was towards a certain subject. It showed me exactly what was His thoughts towards it. Why? How did I get that? By utilizing the gift of the Word, the gift of the Bible there. All right. So now, as we look here, we look at this. We need to utilize these gifts, and one of them is wise counsel in Scripture. I wrote this down. The Word will change your situation, but your situation will never change the Word. You can put that in the comments. The Word will change your situation, but your situation will never change the Word. We can stand on it, right? And we should stand on it. And we have to understand that nothing you ever face is going to change this Word. Nothing you ever face is going to change this, but this Word will change your situation. Amen. Get that in you. All right. The next thing is utilizing the gifts. Utilize the gifts of spiritual authorities. Utilize the gifts of spiritual authorities. Look at a couple of scriptures. Ephesians 4:8-11-14. Ephesians 4, verse 8, 11, and 14. And here's what it says, that when Jesus ascended on high in verse 8, he gave gifts to men. Our job is to utilize the gifts. Verse 11 says, and those gifts were, he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then it says in verse 14, as a result of these gifts and the utilizing of, see, he can give a gift, but just because he's given a gift, you can set it in a corner and never utilize it. And many people are not walking where they should be because they have not utilized the gifts. They have not esteemed the gifts. But man, we are to utilize them. And watch this. You'll notice that each one of these, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we need all of their giftings and influence in our lives. The apostles, The apostles will carry certain giftings that I need in my life. Prophets will carry a certain gifting that I need that in my life. Evangelists will carry a certain gifting that I need in my life. Pastors will carry a certain gifting that we need in our lives. Teachers will carry a certain gifting that we need in our life. We need all five of them. We need their gift in our life to help refine us. Why? Look at verse 14. As a result, and watch this, thinking about God's voice and His leading. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. We are not supposed to do that. And when we, God doesn't want us to be tricked. He doesn't want us to be deceived. And how does the Bible tell us that we won't be deceived? One of the ways that we won't be deceived is when we utilize the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. When we utilize that. See, a lot of people have a pastor, but what they really have is somebody that they will listen to on Sunday, but they never submit to them. They never submit to being planted there. They, in other words, they can come and hear the message on Sunday, but that the shepherd is not just there just to give them food and talk to them. No, the shepherd is supposed to be in their lives, a part of their lives. But if that sheep won't come up to the shepherd may miss a cut on the underside. He may miss a harm. He may, if that sheep doesn't follow that shepherd, then it may wander off and find itself in a pit, and it may have to sit there before the shepherd realizes it's gone, before the shepherd realizes that it's in trouble. It is that sheep's job to submit itself to the shepherd. In other words, utilize the gifts. Utilize the gifts. And if you understand this relationship, a shepherd or a pastor should not control the lives of the sheep. It should lead them. It should confirm. In other words, we are all called to have a relationship with God and hear from God ourselves. But what better thing to do than to yield ourselves, to somebody who God has supernaturally appointed to help oversee our lives? To yield ourselves to somebody who generally has already been there, done that, has experience. Yield ourselves to somebody that knows this word probably better than us. And that's just one of the things that we want to do. I had a situation not long ago. Let me give you this. We are supposed to utilize the gifts that God gives in our lives. And when we utilize that, we will step out of deception and we'll step into the leading of God. And I wrote this down. Ask early before you form an opinion. Many people, they think, I've watched this mess up so many people and my heart just aches for it. I've watched it so many times. Somebody's growing. They become like a spiritual teenager. They think that they've arrived and they do know more than they've ever had before. They know more. They see more than they ever had before. They think they hear something from the Lord. They kind of set their heart and their mind on that, thinking it's God. They go after it and all the time it wasn't God. The first second I hear about it, I'm like, that's not God. But they don't know that because they never came and asked. They have no idea because they never submitted that for confirmation. That's what a pastor's there for. That's what the gifts are there for. To open up new things in us, to prophesy something into your future, to confirm what God's saying to you, to lead you in the path. The gifts, utilize the gifts. I've seen it so many times. And so what I tell people is, ask early before you set an opinion, before you form an opinion. That means pretty much the minute you think God said something, you should be sending a message saying, I just heard this from the Lord. Ask early and ask, don't tell. Because if somebody comes up to me and says, the Lord said this to me, what am I going to say? I'm going to be like, okay, you told me the Lord said, you played the God card. That's all I got to say about it. Okay, I'll pray for you. You know, but if you come and you say, I think I heard from the Lord, I'm seeking confirmation. I'm asking for that confirmation. Now I can give you that opinion. But then here's the other side. If you think you heard from the Lord, you kind of set it in your mind and then you go a week, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, a week, and all of a sudden that thing has gotten more and more rooted in you. If you come then and ask, and it's not the Lord, and I start questioning that, you set your mind that it's the Lord, and if I question that it's the Lord, now you're questioning me. It completely breaks our relationship. So ask early and don't tell. Utilize the gifts. And I said, why, hold on 1 second. I've seen a lot of pastors, of course, utilize that in the wrong way and be in a control place and try to tell people everything to do. That's of course wrong. That's not what they should do either. But that doesn't bring us to a place where we don't have to utilize the gifts anymore. God tells us that He's given us these gifts to benefit our lives. I had a situation. One of the things that I've found is Justin and I actually have gone flying several times. He started to teach me a little bit about how to fly an airplane. And we were taking off from this place, and that day it was very, very windy. And when it was windy, we got into the plane, and when it's windy, it was like bumping all around, all the way up till we got up in the clouds. Well, I had done a couple of things. One, I was trying to look at the charts, and I was looking at stuff, so I'm studying like this. We're bumping all around. I kept my jacket on, so I got hot. I'm bumping in a plane in, you know, with motion sickness, stuff like that. I'm trying to read in there. I did three things wrong. Well, I've gotten to the place now where a lot of the communication that comes over the radio from the air traffic controllers and other planes, I've learned what they're saying for the most part. In this particular case, about that time, we got up to the level that we were flying at, to the altitude that we were flying at. And I heard them come across the radio and say something. I didn't understand what they said. And so I asked Justin, I said, hey, what did they just say? And he said, there's some turbulence out here about a mile from us. And they told us if we'll go up a couple of miles, or we'll go up a couple of thousand feet, we'll miss the turbulence. Now, here's the thing. I couldn't see the turbulence. I couldn't see it. It wasn't something I could see with my eyes, but whether I could see it or not, trouble was there. And let me tell you, right at that moment, like the peak of motion sickness had hit me, and I was sitting there like, oh my goodness. I was like, what am I thinking? I'm thinking, don't lose it, Brian. Don't throw up. That would be bad. That would be bad in this airplane. That would be bad. Do not throw up. Do not throw up. And about that time is when that radio came over. And he said, yeah, if we'll go up a couple thousand feet, we'll miss this turbulence. Had we hit that turbulence, I would have probably lost it because I was already dealing with it so much. And I was like, yes, please, let's go up another couple thousand feet. Let's miss that turbulence. And I was praising God. What was I praising God for? That somebody that knew more than we did could see something we couldn't see. And I realize this is much like a relationship with the gifts that God's put in our lives. Can you fly a plane without utilizing your instruments? You can, but would you want to? Many people in clouds, and without instruments, they've found themselves upside down thinking that they were right side up, and then they go to pull up and they actually pull into the ground and crash. Yeah, you can fly a plane for a little bit, but would you want to? Can you fly a plane without communication and oversight by the people on the ground from the towers? Yeah, you can, but would you want to? No, they can tell me about things that I'm not aware of. They can see things I can't see. They have experience. And so many people need to utilize their pastor like that. Can you live life without a pastor? Well, not and be obedient to God. If you don't utilize the gifts, you're actually going against the way that God said. And it says His ways are holy, but can you do it? Yeah, you can. But it's going to be a much lesser life. And you could have turbulence in front of you that you don't know about, but they can see clearly. Many times there have been things where people have brought stuff to me and I'm like, yeah, that sounds good, but what about this, right? And that's what a pastor is to do, to confirm what you're doing. Not to fly the plane for you, but to show you things that are coming up. And as we yield to that information and knowledge and the people that are, listen, to the people that are anointed to give us guidance and direction and confirmation, we will have a better flight and we'll run our race better. So in hearing from the Lord, God wants to get revelation to us, but we must utilize the gifts. Now, one more thing is this. In Galatians 3:8, it says this. The Lord preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. I want to show you something. The Lord preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, through you, Abraham, will all the nations or all the people groups be blessed. Now I want you to see, what is the plan of God in Galatians 3:8? That through a person, through man, all the other men would be blessed. Now what I want you to see is just a pattern. God, he preached the gospel. This is just as much a part of the gospel as anything else. And he says God wanted to bless other men through other men. In other words, God's plan is to bless people through mankind. Not only directly, but a big part of his plan is through to bless men through other men, right? This is something many times the devil tries to get us off alone, isolated, on an island so he can pick us off. We need communication. We need interaction with other people. It's a part of God's plan for that blessing. In other words, had those men not had relationship and fellowship through Abraham, they would have missed the blessing. God doesn't want us to be alone. He doesn't want us to be silos. He doesn't want us to be on an island. He's designed for us to have interaction, but we must decide, I will utilize the gifts. And when we utilize the gifts, and those gifts are anointed to give us direction and confirmation, and when we utilize the gifts, when we utilize those gifts, we will hear from God more clearly. Amen. The next point is, don't use fleeces. Don't use fleeces. If you want to hear from the Lord, don't use fleeces. If you remember the story of Gideon, back in Judges, you have the story of Gideon. And Gideon was a great man of God. And when he's seeking the Lord for confirmation, he throws out a fleece. And basically, he says, if it's wet in the morning, I'll know it was you. And next day, he says, if it's dry, or maybe it was vice versa, if it's dry, then I'll know it's you, right? And he utilizes a fleece. Now, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, that was okay for him, but God had a better way. He says in the New Testament in Romans 8:14 that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. In other words, that fleece was a physical thing in a physical corrupted world that could be corrupted, could be manipulated. But in the New Testament, through the relationship with God, through the Holy Ghost, we don't have to put out fleeces anymore. All we have to do is hear from the Holy Ghost. Putting out fleeces is a far inferior way. And if you want to hear from God and you want to know what God's telling you, operate and build that relationship of hearing the voice through the Holy Spirit. That is the primary way for a New Testament believer. But here's what I've found. Many believers think that whatever door opens and closes is God speaking. It's not. The devil can open and close some doors and tempt you with it and make it look like it's God. He can do that. You know, he can get somebody to close the door. I've watched it time after time. Somebody's believing for a raise or believing for promotion. All of a sudden, they have a job or another company offer them a position and they think it's God and they go after it and come to find out within 2 or 3 months, they've lost that job, but they've been completely removed from the planting of the Lord. It was a trap the whole time, but they thought, well, if the door opens, it must be God. No. That's a fleece. You can't be moved by physical things that happen. Because the devil can manipulate those as well. If you want to hear from the Lord clearly, don't use fleeces. Grow in your leading of the Holy Ghost. It is not, the New Testament believer is designed to have a communication from the Holy Spirit to their spirit, and they're not to use fleeces. I watch people do this all the time. Well, if this happens, I'll know it's God. Well, if this happens, I'll know it's God. If this happens, I know it's not the Lord. Well, Lord, if this is not you, close the door before I get there. If you don't know any better than that, you better not be stepping towards the door, because the devil will open it for you. Don't even step towards the door. You know, I've heard people say, well, God, if this is not you, just tell me and I'll stop dating this girl. What? Just don't date until you're here to do it. God, what we're saying is that God's not big enough to get us that voice. No, our job is to actually hear from the Lord before we take an action. But when we hear from Him, then we'll know exactly what to do and we'll have confidence and resolve. Don't put out a fleece. Don't put out a fleece. I watch so many people get entangled in things because they leave it up to a physical catalyst. In other words, if this happens, then I know it's God or I know it's not God. You're leaving your future and your destiny in the hands of a corrupt world. When you use fleeces, you are leaving your destiny in the hands of a corrupted world. Put that in the comments. When you use fleeces, you are leaving your destiny in the hands of a corrupted world. Amen. All right, so going on to the next point is don't fellowship with unbelievers and the things of the world. Or, let me put it this way, make sure if you want to be led by God, fellowship with God and other believers. Fellowship with God and other believers. Now watch this. We have, in fellowship, I'm talking about this. Spirit-led prayer, word, and worship. Spirit-led prayer, word, and worship. If you want to hear from the Lord, then get around godly people and God Himself. Acts 17:28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being. For in Him we live, we have life to the full till it overflows. We move and we have our being." Everything that needs to come into being comes into being. When we are in Him, when we fellowship in Him through prayer, the Word of God, the Bible, and worship, when we fellowship with Him, right? Then, and I would say this, when we're fellowshipping with God, and this kind of breaks us up and puts it together at the same time, you'll see what I'm saying. Fellowship with God is through Spirit-led prayer, Spirit-led Word of God, and Spirit-led worship, and a spiritual-led meeting or congregation with believers. In other words, many people hear from God when they come together and assemble together as believers. It's all a part of our fellowship with God. Not just alone and not just with believers. It's a combination of both, and all of it is a fellowship with God. But He says that when we get in Him, we will live, have life to the full till it overflows. We will move and we will have our being, right? So everything we need to be will come into being. But I want to focus on the move part. When we get in fellowship with Christ, with the Father, we will move. Now I want you to see this. In order to move from one place to another, one, I have to have provision to get there. Like when He told Abraham, go to a place that I will show you. He gave Abraham, or Abram at that time before He changed his name, He gave Abram the ability to get there. He gave Abram the ability to get there. But here's what also, along the way, He showed him where to go. And if you want to hear the voice of God, we must be in fellowship with God. We must give ourselves to fellowship time with God. And I found it is one of the most challenged things ever. It's like when I sit down to fellowship with God and just have some personal time with God, the phone starts buzzing off the hook. You know, I start getting emails. Things start coming up. The dog gets into something. You know, all this. Anything to keep me out of fellowship with God. Why? Because that is a life source. When we are in prayer and the word and worship and fellowship with other believers, you'll have so many things that will come up and try to stop you from those four things. You will have so many things that will try and stop you. Why? Because the devil knows that when you get in him, you'll have a life that he can't stop. You'll have motion. Things will start to come into being. You'll have miraculous creation in your life. And this is it. If I'm going to be in him, I'm going to know where to move. I'm going to be empowered to get there, but I'm also going to know where it is. In other words, I'm going to hear the voice of God where life to the full is. I'm going to hear the voice of God where to move to. I'm going to hear the voice of God on how to pray things into being. In other words, all of these revolve around us hearing the voice of God and knowing what to do. So when I get in fellowship with God, I'll start to hear his voice more clearly. The other thing is this, don't forsake the assembly. In Ephesians 4:16, we know Hebrews 10:25 says, as the time gets close, assemble all the more, encouraging one another. Don't forsake that assembly. That assembly is not assembling online. It is a physical assembly, a coming out from your home to come together for the purpose of ministering to the Lord and allowing the Lord to minister to us. It is a and to set, to learn and grow and to set the rule of law in an area spiritually. There's so many important factors there, and the anointing will grow. Don't forsake it, God tells us. Don't forsake it. If that's one thing we've learned, is what can happen if you shut down the assembly? Well, look at all the hell that broke loose this year when you shut down the assembly of the churches, the physical assembly. Why? Because the church, the assembly, is the pillar of truth. It's the pillar of truth. It upholds truth and freedom in a world where the blanket of darkness is trying to come down and hold people in bondage. But the church is a preserving factor, a pillar of truth. And in that church, how many people, if you've spent time in the Lord and in a spirit-filled church, the Lord has spoken to you. He's given you words. He's brought what he wanted. He's given you something to live by. Where did it happen? It happened in the fellowship of believers. Remember that in Galatians 3:8 that I said just a second ago. He said to Abraham, through you, all the nations will be blessed. In other words, I will bring blessings not just to you myself and you and I alone, but I'll bring the blessings through the people that you assemble with, through the pastor that I planted you in that field with. I will bring you a blessing and you will hear that voice. Almost every single week, I'll let the Holy Spirit tell me what to preach on. And I seek to do it all the time. But what I'm saying is almost every single week I'll get this testimony. And the testimony will be, Pastor, that message was for me today. I needed to hear that. What is he saying? I needed to hear the voice of the Lord that was speaking through you. In other words, if you want to hear from the Lord, you must stay in fellowship with God and believers. Spirit-led prayer, word, and worship, and fellowship with believers or the assembly. And here's what you see. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. What every joint supplies. In other words, when we come together with an assembly, there will be a word. There'll be a leading of God that comes not just straight from God, but through the believers that you're assembling with as well. Hallelujah. The next point is that we need to wait upon or minister to the Lord. We need to wait and minister to the Lord. If you want to hear from the Lord, we need to learn how to wait. You know, a lot of times you've heard of the Quakers, right? Do you know why they're called Quakers? The reason why they're called Quakers is they would sit in an assembly and they would just sit there silently and they would just be expecting and believing God to move in their midst. And before long, sometimes they'd wait for a few minutes, sometimes a few hours. But as they would get hungry and they would get in expectation, God would meet that expectation. And they would sit there and the power of God would flood in as they waited upon the Lord and they expected the Lord to move in their midst. The power of God would come and they would just start to quake. And that's why they were called. And it was so supernatural and they were empowered and they would quake under the power of God. Why? Because they waited on the Lord. They waited on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This goes along with what we said earlier about being patient. But I want to go a little step further. Not just being patient, but how about setting ourselves in the position of being with God? And instead of just saying our prayers, instead of just going through some stuff mentally, what about we just wait on the Lord? We wait and minister to the Lord. "Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do, I'll do. I'm here for you. I'm giving you this time." This is not just fellowship. This is specific waiting. "Lord, I'm waiting on you." That's why every month we have a Holy Ghost weekend. And on that Holy Ghost weekend, on Friday in the Holy Ghost weekend, we have Friday night prayer. And we pray from 6 p.m. to midnight. On Saturday, we have Soul Winning Saturday, right? And in Soul Winning Saturday, we'll go out and we'll win souls to the Lord. This last Saturday, we had 100 people that committed to Christ last Saturday. And glory to God. And then on Sunday, we have our morning service, and then we have what we call the Holy Spirit service. We actually come in, instead of meeting at 5 or 6 or 7 o'clock, we come in at 4 p.m. specifically so that if God wants to go longer, we got plenty of time to do it. What are we doing? We're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on Him. And this is, "Lord, I'm yours." We're coming in and we're saying, "I am yours. Whatever you want to do, we'll do. If you send us home after an hour, we'll go home after an hour." We've never had that happen, but if you want to do that, we're waiting on you, right? And what's going to happen? Psalms 25:3-5. Psalm 25:3-5. I like this. "Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed." Oh, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. "Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord." Hear that. When I wait for you, I won't be ashamed. And right along with that, "make me know your ways." What is that? That's hearing from the Lord. "Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all the day." We need to learn how to wait on the Lord. Aren't those beautiful scriptures? I love that. When we wait on the Lord, when we wait on Him, we will hear Him. We will hear His voice. We will be led by Him. We will find Him. But we got to wait. He says, "I will wait all the day. I will wait all the day. And when I wait on you, I will not be ashamed." Glory to God. And then we need to minister to the Lord. So we need to wait. In order to hear from the Lord, we need to wait and minister to the Lord. We're waiting on Him is not being impatient, but it's also just being ready and available. "Lord, I'm ready and available." To do what? One of those things is to minister to Him. Well, we praise Him. We worship Him. "Lord, we minister to you." One of my favorite stories ever. You know the ministry of the Apostle Paul, how he was Saul, a Pharisee and a chief Pharisee. Like he was probably headed to the top to be the high priest. I mean, and he was putting Christians to death in the name of God. He was that deceived. Even though he had all this education, he was that deceived. What did he have? He had a hardened heart. He had a hardened heart. He thought he was something. He had pride. He had all these things standing in the way. He was so deceived, he was killing the actual people of God. God meets him on the path. He turns him from this vicious Saul And eventually turns them into the Apostle Paul, who has a ministry to the whole world. Wrote over half of the New Testament. Revelation. The ministry of the Apostle Paul. Where was the ministry of the Apostle Paul? Where was it started? Right here in Acts chapter 13. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." The ministry of the Lord, ministering to the Lord, they heard the voice of God, and it launched one of the greatest apostles the world and all of Christendom has ever seen in the Apostle Paul. Where did it start? Where did it get its beginning? A people that were waiting and ministering to the Lord. A people that were waiting and ministering to the Lord. The next step in hearing from God is fast. And you saw that at the end of that. Not only were they ministering to the Lord, they were fasting. They were fasting. Isaiah 58, verse 8 and 9, talking specifically about the benefits of fasting, says this: "Then when you fast, your light will break out like the dawn." That means revelation. You will hear revelation from God. "And your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer." That is hearing from the Lord because of a fast. "You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness." When we fast, we receive revelation and we hear from God. When we fast, we receive revelation and we hear from God. All of these things will build our ability to be led by God, and we need to walk in them all the time because God has good plans. And I will tell you, one of the main places that I learned so much about being led by God came out of praying in the Holy Ghost, reading books about Smith Wigglesworth and autobiographies. I'll put up a link in this broadcast about a book from Smith Wigglesworth. One that I think I was reading that when he told me to start praying in the Holy Ghost. But another one is How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God by Brother Hagin. That book is one I try to read every single year, at least once. At least once I try to read that book. How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God by Brother Hagin. It has so much in it. There are so many nuggets there. There you go. They just put that up. And I'll put the book, the link to Smith Wigglesworth's book in the description as well. But it is one of those things that is so awesome to grow in, because when we can hear from God, we can ask our heart, "Am I willing to do what he says? And will I be obedient?" And he says, "If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." Hearing from God and being led by God is so, so important. And Father, we just thank you so much for not leaving us alone, but for providing for us. Lord, you want to be a part of our lives. Lord, you want to be. We can tune in to you. We can hear from you. We can be blessed because we hear from you. You didn't even have to do that. Father, you didn't have to do it, but you did that. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We give you all of the glory. We thank you for leading us, for guiding us, for giving us your voice. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you for being with us as we have gone about this, talking about being led by God. It has been awesome. And I'm glad that I was able to get this information to you. Share it. Share it with other people. How many people do you think would benefit if they could hear clearly from the Lord? And so, Father, we just thank you. Let this word hit everybody exactly where they need to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, we've taken this series and we've sown it into your lives. As always, we sow it into the world for free. If you would like to partner with us, you can go to giveww.org, or on Facebook, you can type hashtag donate into the comments, followed by the amount that you would like to give. You're welcome to do that. Some people may want to say, "I want to give into you one time." Others may say, "I want to partner with what y'all are doing at What's Right and Lunch Plus. I want to be a part of of it, getting that good news out, getting this information and this life out to people. Or you may say, this message meant something to me and I want to consecrate it in my life and sow into this direct message. If you would like to do either one of those and sow, then you can do that by typing hashtag donate and the amount in Facebook, or you can go to giveww.org and sow there once or recurringly. And so we just praise God for you. Thank you for being with us. We're praying for you. And I just want to pray for everybody that may sow today. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I call every seed. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I sense that faith for it. Lord, I call every seed sown into this ministry today. Blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Bless it. Lord, let that seed break through hard ground. Thank you, Lord. I just see right now. Thank you, Lord, for a word. I see right now. I see bondages and stuff where it's kind of been hard, where you've even been sowing and not reaping a harvest. But I see this seed today. This is for one person or whoever takes it, you can have it. But I see it today that as you plant that seed and in faith today, Lord, I see it breaking through those bondages and breaking through that garbage that's been trying to step in the way of your finances and your life. Lord, I see it. Thank you, Father. It is specific, at least for one person. Lord, it is specific. Thank you right now for your goodness and your mercy and your breakthrough of the hard ground. Lord, thank you that you're breaking bondages, you're breaking ceilings. Thank you, Father, for that seed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'll be sowing myself. If that's not for anybody else, I know it's for me. Glory to God. Thank you. I don't think I can sow on my own broadcast, but I'll sow it on at GiveWW. There's something special there. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just put faith on you and on your word. Thank you. Yeah, I just saw it. I saw like the roots of that seed today. It's almost like in the ground was like a hard shell. And things that you've been doing hadn't been working, but I saw as people sowed. And this is not, listen, if you got a check on sowing, don't. You don't give under compulsion. So this is not an emotional thing. This is a spiritual thing, and that's hearing the voice of the Lord. But for those, there's some people that they will hear the voice of the Lord and the Spirit in that, and they'll say, that's what I was looking for. That's what I needed. And I just right now, I see it, that it was almost like a shell, and things you were doing and things you were planning, things you had sown, it's like it wasn't breaking through. But I saw the seed of this offering today. I saw it was that the roots of that seed went, it shattered that shell, and finally the breakthrough was there and you got the harvest that you needed. So glory to God. I'm expecting testimonies off of today. So here's what I want to tell you. Anybody that's watching, if you do sow seed today and you get a specific breakthrough and you know it ties back to today, I want to hear that testimony. Thank you, Lord, for giving that. That was a supernatural word for somebody or many people to break through. Thank you, Father. And if it's not for you, then it's not for you. That's fine. Thank you, Lord, for that breakthrough. Lord, I receive. If you receive that, just put that. I receive breakthrough in Jesus' name. I receive that breakthrough. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we love you so very much. We got some exciting stuff coming up. Barrett's going to tell you as we wrap it up today. I love you so much. Thanks for being with me on this journey of how to be led by God and hearing from the Lord more clearly. And here is Miss Barrett. Amen.
What was really cool to watch is that so many people at the same time gave, it like froze Good World. And it was like, I can't. And then they're all just rapid going through. That's awesome. Thank you guys for being sowers and givers to the Word of God. We just praise God for you and for your faithfulness that God has given to you. God is, yeah, He's so good. This is a great series. Make sure that you go back and rewatch this one. This is a series that will literally change how you operate in the kingdom. And we thank you so much for being on with us. Here's what we want you to know going in to this weekend. We are having Christmas at Boomerang. It's going to be great. It's this Sunday. Like, T-minus less than 2 days. We're so close to it. This Sunday at 10 a.m., we are going to be having Christmas at Boomerang Church here in Boomerang. And here's what's going on. We are doing giveaways. We're giving away a Coach purse, a smoker grill, a Nintendo Switch for every child 10 and under. We'll have one free toy for every child who's coming. We're going to have free lunch afterwards where we just come in and have a great big family-style dinner. It's going to be so awesome. And we want you to be a part of it. But most importantly, we are coming together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. What better reason to be in the house this Sunday than celebrating that your King came to this earth for you because he loved you? That's what we're doing on Sunday. And then next week, the Lunch Plus schedule is going to look a little bit differently. It's going to be great. Here's what's going on. Next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're having our normal broadcast. On Thursday, we have a special video that we recorded yesterday. I may or may not be making my rap debut, guys. You're welcome in advance for that, but that's all I'm telling you about it. But we have a special video that's coming out on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, we're going to have a special message for you. And then the following week, you know this series and how awesome it's been? Well, we're going to re-air some of these. We're going to re-air the three parts of man, the ones that Pastor has been pointing us back to over the last week, week and a half, and then we're going to be re-airing some of how you can be led by the Spirit of God. So that way, going into this new year, you are ready, set, primed to hear from the Lord about what he has for you.
Hello.
Hello.
Listen, we need your help. You have to vote. Christmas Eve. You've got to get here. Christmas Eve. Vote. And vote for me.
I'm really glad that
vote for me.
I was led by the Lord and didn't jump out of my skin.
You didn't know I was coming up?
I didn't know until that moment.
I thought you saw me.
Oh, no. So the freezing of me being here was collecting. Okay, you didn't yell on camera.
That's you did good.
Praise God.
Christmas Eve, you got to see it.
Amen. It's going to be great. We love you. Have a great weekend. See you Sunday. Be here. We want to give stuff to you. We love you, and we'll be back Monday at 11:30 here on Lunch Plus.